Rhoda. Good old Rhoda. Rhoda, Rhoda. I love you, Rhoda. Rhoda means rose in Greek. No, not Rhoda Morgenstern. No, you're thinking of Rhoda, not Rhoda Morgenstern from Mary Tyler Moore Show. No. Now I'm talking about the Rhoda in Acts 12:13. Rhoda. She's the maid, the young girl who answered the door when Peter knocked. Remember, the angel let Peter out of jail in Acts, and he goes to the house of the people where they were meeting, and he knocks on the door, and scripture says, at his knocking at the door of the portal, a maid approached to obey named Rhoda. And remember, she was so excited it was Peter that she ran back to the people, and she didn't even open the door. She ran in and told the people at the meeting, it sounds like Peter, because Peter had said, open the door. It's Peter. She was so excited she didn't even open it. She went to the other people and they said, you're crazy, Rhoda. Cute kid. Love her dearly. Got a little overexcited there. Eventually did open the door. My point is, I want to talk about the word obey here. A maid approach to obey. Obey what? Obey the door. How can you obey a door? Well, the word obey simply means under here. Under here, H-E-A-R. It means to hear and to heed. The Greek word is hupakouoyo, which is the Greek. This is like a different language here. K-O-U-O. Too many vowels stuck together there for my comfort. Anyway, that's the Greek word. It means to hear and to heed. So going back to Romans 10:16, where I left off yesterday, not all obey the evangel. Is this an evangel that needs to be obeyed? Do this or else. No, that's the law of Moses. To hear and to heed, simply. And as the example I'm giving you is Rhoda, God bless her, Rose, she obeyed the door. That is, she simply heard the door and heeded it. She went to the door. Too bad she didn't open it. She was too excited. She was a kid, I think. Love to meet her someday. Hey, I will, won't I? That's right. So not all hear and heed the evangel. When you think of the word heed, we're not necessarily considering an action, something you do, but an understanding. In this case, those who heed the evangel are grasping it. It's a heeding of the mind. Remember the word Paul uses all the time, come to a realization of the truth. Look up realization or recognition in your concordance there. See how many times Paul uses it. So important to grasp these things. Only God can give understanding, yet still we pray for it. And then in 16, Lord, who believes our tidings? Strange things. We bring an evangel of good, and as I shared with you last week it was, or maybe it was earlier this week, who believes it? Not many people believe tidings of good because it's too good and the humans trip over it. Look at this in verse 17. Consequently, faith is out of tidings. We're still with the Rube Goldberg here. Faith is out of tidings, yet tidings through a declaration of Christ. This evangel is a declaration of Christ. Well, where's Christ? I don't see him here. Well, he's speaking through his ambassadors. Amazing verse, 2 Corinthians 5:20. For Christ, then, we are ambassadors as of God entreating through us. It's not just Christ entreating through us. It's God entreating. God is entreating today through his ambassadors, human beings. What a condescension of God that he's actually speaking today. His word is going forth through we people who wear blue jeans and t-shirts. And let's see what shoes do I have on today? Asics. Hard to believe. That's why people stumble at us. We're so not presentable sometimes as the ministers of Christianity are. I don't have my tie on today or my suit coat. And yet God has chosen the weakness and the stupidity of the world in order to confound the rest of the world. And he's doing it quite ably. Now, that was Romans 10. I want to show you Paul. Poor Paul. You know, it would be so nice if God pointed out ahead of time who was chosen to believe. wish he did, make my life a lot easier. And it's not that teachers and evangelists are the only ones sharing this truth. I know you're out there sharing the truth with people, and you know, you just don't know who's going to believe and who's not. Paul is in, that makes it exciting, doesn't it? Paul's in Athens in Acts chapter 17, and he's teaching to the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. Here comes the train again, but I'm going to stay cool. I got upset about it the last time. Come on through, friend. Somebody got after me for that. You sure got upset about that train. Come on through, friend. Honk again, please. Thank you very much. God bless you. Have a good day. Acts 17. Paul is in Athens, and pity the poor guy. Here's this stupid Paul, and he brings up the resurrection of the dead in verse 31, which you had to be a moron to believe that. And on hearing, look at this, verse 32, their reaction. On hearing of the resurrection of the dead, these indeed jeered, yet those say, we will hear you concerning this again. Thus Paul came out of their midst. Yet some men, being joined to him, believe, among whom were Dionysius, the Areopagite, also, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Three different kinds of people reacted to Paul and his proclamation and his tidings. Three different kinds of people heard. One of the groups was stubborn. God locks them up in stubbornness. It's an act of God. Romans 11:32. God locks up altogether in stubbornness. They heard of the resurrection and they jeered. That's the jeer on Mars Hill. That's universal. That goes way back. Probably started here in Athens. They jeered. That probably hurt Paul's feelings. Sit down, shut up, boo, you're no good. That would hurt my feelings. And some of them just put Paul off. Well, we'll talk about this next week. Maybe, get out of here. But yet some joined him. Now, Paul wouldn't have had to gone through the if only God had sent a magical little arrow and put it over the heads of those who have been designated beforehand to be conformed to the image of his son. Wouldn't that be nice? No, God doesn't do it that way. And so evangelists and teachers have to broadcast the truth. You know where that term came from, don't you? The farmer. He broadcasts the seed. He just throws it out there. And now only God knows, as Paul told somebody, who did he tell? I plant, Apollo waters, God causes the growth. And why have not I told you this verse before? Why didn't I go here before? Acts 14:48. Wow. This is a great verse of scripture. Well, I'm telling you what, let me just go ahead and start with verse 46. This is Paul and Barnabas. They're out on their commission. The Holy Spirit separated them. And Paul is getting pretty frustrated with the Jews. He says, to you first was it necessary that the word of God be spoken. Yet, since in fact you are thrusting it away. Now see, he tried, but he didn't know who's going to accept it, who's going to thrust it away. So he says, since you're thrusting it away and are judging yourselves not worthy of aeonian life, relative truth. He knows absolutely it's of God, but he's a player on the stage, and he's living in the relative truth here. Since you are judging yourselves unworthy of aeonian life, lo, we are turning to the nations. For thus the Lord has directed us. I have appointed thee for a light for the nations, for thee to be for salvation as far as the limits of the earth. Get this, verse 48. Now, on hearing this, the nations rejoiced and glorified the word of the Lord, and they believed whoever were set for life aeonian. This is it. Verse 48 of Acts chapter 13. Did I say chapter 14? If I did, I was wrong. It's Acts 13, verse 48. Now, on hearing this, the nations rejoiced and glorified the word of the Lord, and they believed. Who believed? Whoever were set for life aeonian. It's just like I told you. I didn't make it up. Whoever are set for life aeonian will believe. Same thing in Athens. But to make it fun, God doesn't tell us ahead of time. So we have to go out and go through the drama of walking it out and seeing it set before us in the realm of time. Quite exciting. You know, Paul knew the absolute truth, but he walked in the relative truth. A great example of that, and I'm going to end with this, is Paul on the ship on the way to Rome. You remember that? He's going to see Caesar because he appealed to Caesar. And they the people on the ship, they got hit by this northeaster, a big hurricane-type wind, and they're going to go down. They think they are. Very scary time. And yet Paul attests to the men of the ship. He says, "For there stood beside me this night a messenger of God," this is an angel, "whose I am, to whom I am offering divine service, also saying, fear not, Paul, before Caesar you must stand, and lo, graciously has God granted you all those who are sailing with you. Wherefore be cheerful, men, for I am believing that thus it will be, even in the manner which has been spoken to me." Everybody's going to be saved, said the angel. That's absolute truth. So Paul just sat down in the hold of the ship and read his issue of Sailing Magazine. No, he didn't. Because the next day, this is six or so verses later, the next day some of the mariners are trying to flee out of the ship, and they lowered a skiff into the sea, trying to get out. And Paul said to the centurion, he says, "If these morons," I'm paraphrasing, I'll just quote it, "if ever these should not be remaining in the ship, you cannot be saved." See, Paul is seeing these people trying to get out of the ship on these skiffs, and he's saying, if these people continue, they're going to die. Now, somebody, a third-party observer, might say, "But Paul, the angel of the Lord told you that everybody was going to be saved." But part of the fulfilling of that everybody was going to be saved was Paul instructing these mariners to tell these goofballs not to put these skiffs out, to stay on the ship. You see, Paul's participating in the event. I suppose you can say he could have stayed in the hold of the ship and everybody was going to be saved. But Paul, knowing the absolute truth, still lives in the relative truth. He likes to have fun. He likes to be a part of what's going on. So he forgets the absolute truth and he's living his life, and he tells them, "Unless you stay on the ship, you're going to die." Love that. Live that. I'm Martin Zender. We'll see you tomorrow.